Glory. Can you hear me? Through the microphone?
No.
Okay, Timothy, thank you. The light is on. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus, for this day, for this opportunity, that we can come before you. And so we ask you, as we stand on your promise, Holy Spirit, come. Fulfill your purpose in us and let us be your people. We want to serve you. Fulfill your great commission in us and into the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, something has happened, and I was talking to Pastor Joe. You see, Pastor Joe is not... I lost all my brothers and my sisters after I became Christian. I have Muslim family, 14 brothers and sisters. I lost my inheritance. I lost my mom and dad. I lost everything. But God has been raising brothers and sisters for me and family through all over the place. Today I have more than what I started with. And Brother Joe he's the kind of brother that I'll trust my family in his hand. I'll trust my life to his hand. And he's the kind of brother that I trust truly and thoroughly. He is not a pastor. He is not a prophet. He is not a teacher. But behold, I introduce an apostle. He's an apostle of God because his teaching comes from heaven, and it does not come from a piece of paper. So what he teaches, it's a higher things. You know, and I have, every time I encounter with, we touch each other, something happened. So I felt like the Lord saying, behold, this is my beloved. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So I race to be here. So coming here, it is no longer, this is no longer coming here to speak at a church. I'm coming home to tell you what had happened all over the place. Because you people, you are my people. Your flesh is my flesh, and your bones are my bone. And what you have is mine. And you've been supporting our ministry and advancing our ministry every month. Believe it or not, your pastor has been sending missionary fund to our ministry. So he's enabling us to fulfill the Great Commission. And today you are fulfilling the Great Commission, whether you like it or not. When I came here today, I was so tired, exhausted. Last night I had 3.5 hours sleep. I drove, all the way from St. Louis to here this morning. And, well, don't feel sorry about me. Great is he that is in me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And so therefore what happened is I was filled with joy. As I stepped into your church, the joy of the Lord became my strength. Literally. And then the spirit of prophecy started falling on this place. And then I saw my brother Jalal. And I was going like, oh my gosh, this is a dessert. So, Jalal, I have word for you, my brother. The Lord says, come home. Your seat has always been there. And your people always been praying for you, and they love you. Come home. Nobody paid me to do this. There was an open heaven as everybody was praying, and they were staring. And the Lord spoke to me specifically. He said, tell those older people that they think that the days are gone and now all they can do is to pray. The Lord said, you're wrong. He wants you to know you are not older, but you are more seasoned. When Nehemiah built the wall, he did not start from fresh, from nowhere. He built on the ancient stones of the gates and of the wall. The old what held the new. Jesus came to fulfill the newness of his people. So when he came, he became that stone. And on this rock, I will build my church. So therefore, the ancient stone is what God people will build the new coming of the Messiah. And if this is you, say I. And for those of you that you thought your body is weary and you have no place to go, as my brother was prophesying and giving the word, he said, let go of the old so he can give you the new. I have a word for you today. The old wine sack, in the old days when it could be used no more, it was soaked in fresh water. And when it soaked in the fresh water, it released what was old. And then after it was totally soaked in the old water, it was rubbed by fresh olive oil. And when it was rubbed by fresh olive oil, it became brand new. Your days, your hour, your season is upon you because you thought it is over and the Lord said it just begun. Because the new generation, their strength and their power, it's going to be of yours. And if you don't relinquish what you have to them, they're not going to be able to step forward. And this is for you to release what's in you today. And that old skin will carry the new skin. That's a word for you today. Well, I'm thanking God for whatever my age is because I'm going somewhere. So I'm going to go now read from the book of Acts, and we're going to go for Acts 2, and I'm going to start from 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, everybody say last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And then, when he poured his spirit, he said, from this point on, I will pour out my spirit. Because in that day, how do you mark it? It's the last day. How do we know it's the last day? We're going to give you the clue in a second. Because he gave the clue. He said, it will come on and would never cease. What happened today in your church, this is not what I was going to speak on. What happened today in your church was an open heaven, and it was the unceasing manna that just came on. From this day on, mark your calendar, put it in your diary, that it's not going to stop. It's going to move forward to the greater place. Your water is going to overflow just like your rivers in your city. Your lake is going to overflow just like in your city. Your well are going to overflow just like what's happening in your city. This is the sign of grace and mercy for those who believe in the last day. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh and it will be unceasing. And when it goes forward, it will not stop until he said, come home. And he said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Why they shall prophesy? Because they are your sons. Why? Because the prophecy came. Your young man shall see vision. And also your old man shall dream dreams. The dreams that the old men and women had, the prophecy will come through that manifestation. The vision will be built on those dreams. You are the ancient city that God is going to usher the new generation through you. Good and faithful gate. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And he said, and on mine manservant and my maiden servant, even your servant, and these, when we say servant, even those that they are working for you and they are not Christian yet. They have not known the truth of God. That they have not, you know. So if they are Muslims, if they are whatever they are and wherever they came from, if they live in the United States of America, they will be living under grace. And that grace is going to usher them to somewhere totally new that they have not understood before. Because that grace will open the eyes and the ears of their understanding. He said, for God so loved the world, and his grace is based on his love. And so therefore, he said, the God of this world has blinded them, lest the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ reach them. Now you are the gospel. Say, I am the gospel. And you're going to reach them like never before. You are going to reach them. Yesterday, I left from my brother Joe from the camp, you know, the prophecy camp. And we went forward. And every man and woman that I encounter, they came to Christ. So the first one was at the hotel. He was a Muslim. His name, Abdul Qadir. He's Kurdish. So I grabbed him by and said, do you know Jesus Christ? He said, yes, I do. I said, but do you really know him? He said, I do. I said, do you have him inside of your heart? He said, kind of. I said, there's no kind of. Do you want to have him? He said, why would I? I said, because he's alive. He's not dead. He died for you and rose again to give you life. Your book said it. His name is Isa al-Masih. Would you like to know him? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, here, let me hug you. So I gave him foofy love. And I hugged him, and I prayed over him, and he received Jesus Christ. He went and told all his friends, the Muslim, oh, he gave me Jesus. He can give you Jesus. He has him. You're like, I have a bank account everlasting. Each one has the same bank account. The second one was this guy that asked me to come and speak at his event. He took me, and a few other guys on a helicopter ride. He said, I'm going to show you St. Louis. So we got in a helicopter, you know, and the pilot looking over there, and I start looking at the pilot. The pilot, he felt like a fish out of water, you know, and I said, we're not going to go with you until we know if you are saved, because I'm going to let you fly me if you are not saved. He said, I'm saved. I said, are you saved? He said, I am saved. I said, are you saved? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? He said, I am. I do. I said, when were you baptized? He said, when I was about 1 year old. I said, do you remember your baptism? He said, no. I said, would you like to be baptized? He's going like, well, there's no water. I said, well, he's the living water. Would you like to be baptized? And he's going like, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he started want to speak in tongue instantly. And and his face was turning red. And the Lord said, behold, ask him about his wife. What's your wife's name? I'm not married. The Lord said that you do have a wife. He said, well, I've been dating this woman for 13 years. And we have a child. I said, God would say he had enough with you. You need to honor your wife and your son. And he's going like, I'm going, that's called speaking in tongue. You speak in mysteries. And then I led them to Christ. Then I go back and the concierge is there. We led her to Christ. Now, everybody, there was something happening, and an age has been ushered over this city, over this United States of America, and it's going to yield more fruit that we have not seen before for those who want it. It is selective rain. It's not for anyone just like says, oh, you really want it and mean it or you don't. Because that's the place you're going to say, I want more of this. And if that's you, say, I want more. And it's coming for those who wants it. So this is what this little, you know, ministry, every time everybody we were encountering was coming to Christ. It was, I was so hot coming here. I'm going like, the heat is rising. I'm going like, boy, caffeine doesn't work anymore. Come to Jesus. And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. He said, and what wonder we just saw the meteor that just passed by the earth. It was what, 70 miles away? 70 million miles away from the Earth, that was the closest meteor, that it was 3 football field. If it encountered the Earth or came and hit close to the Earth, it would have changed the direction and the course of the spin of the Earth. That's how dangerous that was. The sign has, the wonder are taking place. I'm speaking like this because I'm tired and I'm just going, I'm not speaking in tongue. And then he said, blood and fire and vapor and of smoke also we will see. And now we see the haziness that's taking place over the United States of America and over the Earth. It's changing. And the sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood. And before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, it shall come to pass that the whoever call shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So therefore, it is no longer how you're going to lead them to Christ. All you have to do is just ask them if they want to receive Christ, because the harvest is plentiful and it's riper than ever before for those who want the harvest. And we come into this and we just stepped into this threshold, and it's going to be the age of the glorious church. The age of the glorious church. Jesus said, I'll return into glorious church. My church will be glorious before he takes her home. And that is in the last days. How do we know it's the last days? We talked about the dark, the blood moon, and the sun, and the darkened sun. 2014 and 2016 are the last time in, you know, until 800 years from now, that the moon will come to be darkened, and the sun, the moon will be turned to blood, and the sun will turn to darken. We're coming so close that 2013, 14, 15, he said he will give us signs for the coming of the Lord, and the signs are upon us. So we are so close to the coming of the Lord. If you have not made your peace, wherever you are, make your peace very fast and come running home. Because, you know, the Word of God says, do not go back wherever you are. Just step forward. Make your peace with him and run to him. And now God is waiting for those who are coming to him. And if you have issues with, if you are offended, one of the greatest spirit that we're going to have dealing with us in the last day is spirit of offense. Spirit of offense is what isolates you from God. If you are offended, I want you to stand up today and say, I have an offense and I need it to be removed. And if this is you, just stand up and say, I want it to be removed. I'll tell you what, I was offended just a few weeks ago, so I'll take the first stand. If you are offended, take stand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Father God, we thank you that you remove their offenses and remove their offenses, Father God, and replace it with your presence, your glorious presence, and give them total and perfect peace as they took stand, Father God, today. Revive them. Revive them, Lord. Revive them with the fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. Father God, that what was is no longer is, but what is yet to come. In Jesus' name. And you too. All those who took stand. Thank you, Father. So now, here's the message for today. I was doing a supper, Seder supper on Resurrection Sunday. And as I was doing the search, I came to the word, it's called ephikumen. Everybody say ephikumen. It's easy for you to say. It means in the Greek, I came. That's what it means in the Greek. And then when that has come, the Word of God shows that a piece of bread, it's of matzah, free of spot and wrinkles, and a free of yeast, it's broken in 2 pieces. First, it's bought for price, and that price is very unique. And after it's bought, it's broken in 2 pieces. 1 piece is wrapped, and it's hid. When it's hid, nobody knows about it until the end, until the last, you know, that Seder at the end. And that's what's considered, what they refer to it as dessert. That is the sweet, spirit of the whole Seder. So the first piece is broken and eaten, and the rest is hidden to the end. Jesus came. Jesus came. And guess what? He's coming back again. Because his body was broken for what? For our transgression. He was pierced for our transgression. So when he was nailed to the cross, that piece of matzah has holes and it has stripes. He was beaten up and he was just pierced all over. And what happened is, this is what happened at the Passover. And when he was on the cross, the Roman soldiers took the hyssop stick and they dipped it in vinegar and they put it to his lips. This is the same thing that the Israelite in the Passover, they dipped. They took the hyssop stick, it was a hyssop, and they dipped it in the blood of the lamb and they put it on what? On the hedges of the door. The cross is the doorway. It was the same hedges that the Jews built their own home from it. It was built on that gate. Today, when he was speaking about the gate, I'm going like, it is a gate, and it's a good gate. Because this gate that he laid on, and he was pierced for our transgression and what so have you, what happened today, it is fully open for those who want it. And it's a free gift. If this is you and you have not received Jesus Christ, say, I want to receive him right now. All of you are saved. Right? Everybody. Good. Now we're going to ask you, if you need renewal and you have just stepped to the outside, say, I, you don't have to get up. And we're going to pray for your renewal right now. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. You see, the Word of God said to ask, and when you ask, God will fulfill you. And the best part about this is I'm always, you know, wanting more. I'm always wanting more. If you don't have that thirst for Him. If you don't have that hunger for Him. So, Father God, for those who put their hand up in the air, I pray, Father God, reviving fire. I pray that fire that just like when Elijah stood there on the altar and he poured the water on the altar, Father God, I pray that fire will come from heaven, Abba Father, and will come out and burn everything on the altar and will lick the water in their life and replace it with the new oil, Father God. That their life will be seasoned and their skin will be smooth and they will be able to carry the new wine for the age to come. I pray spirit renewal over you for those who put their hand up in the air. In Jesus' name. It's open heaven. You should have put your hand up. Sorry. The Word of God in the book of Ecclesiastic 3:1, it says, for everything there is a reason, and for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. We are coming to that time under heaven. The end is upon us. The end of time, and it just has begun. It's that last age, and you are no longer what, who said this earlier? He said you have to relinquish what was old so God can give you the new. Was it you, or who said that? I'm sorry? It was Dan, troublemaker. And so what happened is, this is the age, is no longer, you have to check your old stuff so he can give you the new stuff. Everybody say new stuff. New stuff. The new stuff is coming from heaven and it's something that you have not have tasted or understood or known yet. It's totally new and it is awesome because this time it's no longer, it's going to be earthly, it's going to be heavenly. Time is going to change and God's going to bring the provision from heaven for those who believe and for those who want it. They're going to walk in this. And they are an authority coming about to be led by angels. Last time I said, I was in here, I don't know if I talked about this or not, but I had a vision. The vision came in three waves. The first wave, the earth opened up, and out of the pit came a slew of giants. These giants dressed in ancient clothing. And it was an old, you know, so old that you can smell the stench on them. And they were so thin you know, so, just like they're starved. And the first thing that they did, they stood there and they put demand on all resources. They started drying out the resources of everything. That's the first wave that I saw. So the land started drying out. And they stood there and there was no space in between them. So they were suffocating the earth. The second wave, they came out of the earth and now they are shouting and declaring and decreeing. So that spirit that is coming and now it's declaring and decreeing. It wants to exalt itself above the knowledge and the power and the throne of God. So now it is demanding from the earth that everybody to follow after them, you know, and they're demanding to be taken in. And we're seeing now in the United States of America, what happened? We have built altar. This, our government right now, they have built altar for Sodom and Gomorrah. We have built altar for Amalek, which is abortion, giving children in death legally. And then we have built another altar, and that altar is for whom? For Baal, Islam itself. And now, this nation is unifying itself with the power of the beast, one world order, and we're asking the UN to come to be part of the United States governing. And we, you know, so everything is changing, and what is good is now bad, and what is bad is good. And what is, you know, so everything is turning upside down, and what's so what these giants, as they are demanding these things, what happening? Many of these people that they are not in God, they are bowing down before those giants and surrendering their life. Remember the story when Joshua and Caleb were sent with the other 10. They said, go spy on the giants. The 10 said, we are grasshoppers. Joshua and Caleb said, we are giant slayers. So now in this age, you are either going to say, I'm a giant slayer, and or you're going to say, I am a grasshopper. Because if you slay your giant, listen to this carefully. There's a lot of emphasis. You could not step into this new place until you slay your own giant. How are you going to slay your own giant? It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. David took pebbles. Pebbles are dust. Dust is the lowest commodity on earth. Men and women are made from dust, and pebbles are made from dust. And when he collected those, he collected a weapon to defeat the giants. The giant was not defeated by the sword or by the javelin or by the spear. David said to Goliath, he said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come against you in the name of the Most High God, God of the armies of Israel. Your declaration is your power, because your declaration is what's going to reach into the giant's head. And your power is when you take that nonsense and you go like, go in the name of the Lord. By the Spirit of God, it will guide it to the right place, and it's going to be heat-seeking missile, and I'm going to bring the giants down, and you're going to become a king of your day and hour and age. Kings are not made. Kings are born. And they are born into that place because first you carry it in your spirit. The second thing, you birth it. Women carry children and they understand that. Men must come to understand, say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. I want to be birthing your glory. The third wave of the giants. The third wave of giants, now chaos was all over the earth. Every place they walked, it was destroyed. It was utterly destroyed. People were hiding behind corners. Buildings were destroyed and demolished. Why? Because the giants were coming to suffocate what God blessed. Everything that God put together, they were taking it apart. Everything that God gave to his people, they were taking it apart. Satan came to do what? This is his mighty army for the last days. This is his army that he kept for the last day. But then I saw the heaven open up when all this happened. And when heaven opened up, one angel, everybody say one angel. He came into the world atmosphere, not even on the earth. And that angel stood before the glory of God all his day, from the day that God birthed him. He stayed there in the glory of God, and all he said,
holy, holy, holy. You're praying holy, holy, and I'm hearing kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy. And he was standing there and shouting from one to the other. He said, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. The other one shouted back, holy, holy, holy. And that presence of one angel lit the world with the glory of God, and the glory of the Lord filled the earth and filled the glory. Yeah, and now what happened? All the giants went, woo. The presence of God was so awesome. We are entering an age that the eyes have not seen, the ears have not heard. But here's the power. You can be the ushers of those angels and call them by name and they can come forth. Or you can be just one of those watching like, wow, I don't want to buy a ticket. I want to be the ticket. Don't buy it. Become it. And how is that going to happen? By obedience and servitude. The first part is you must obey. The second part, you must set yourself in the right place, because we talked about it is a latter rain and it is coming uniquely for those who positioning yourself. You must position yourself. That positioning is not based on what you think. It's what he's calling you to do. And over there, if your job is gonna dry up, and the whole thing is taking place now, the economy that's coming from God, it's for those who believe and those who loves him, because it's going to come on his sons and daughters. And everybody going to start growing to the sons and daughters. And the sons and daughters begin to become a supply. He will supply and they will supply, and they will become the supplication to humanity. The word that she said earlier, this young lady, which is, I forget her name, she said consecration. That she talked about the consecration. Consecration means make yourself available in agreement on what he called you to do. Because that spirit of agreement is going to enable you to reach into the grace of heaven. The grace is not given to you just because you called it in, but you have to be in a position to make yourself sanctified and consecrated for that place. And when you set yourself in that place, God is going to pour out his spirit on that vessel.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. I thought I have no message. Well, thank you. It's his stuff. I'm just saying it. So, now we go into John 2, 1 through 11. And Jesus, on the third day, everybody's third, say third day, of the wedding. He took it, that took place in Cana, in the Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciple had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, on the third day, the wine was gone. On the third day, remember, third day, the wine is gone. Boy, I said that three times. And Jesus' mother said to him, honey, they have no wine. In Hebrew, they have no more. And he said to her in chapter 4, he said, woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. On a third day. On a third day, after he rose again on a third day. And then now we come into the end of millennium, where everything, the 7777 coming all together, and we come into the sixth year, which is accomplishing the third day of his, when he rose and for his coming back again. On a third day, the wine has dried out. So there was no more wine. And that wedding, what happened in the wedding? The wedding dried out. There was no more wine. And so what happened is, his mother said that, you know, said to him, there's no more wine. And he said, why you call me? My time has not arrived. What does that mean? I'm not coming yet to pick you up home. The rapture is not taking place yet. My time has not come to take you home. And what did his mother said?
She turned to the servant and she said, and when she said the servant, those who knew her and those who knew Jesus Christ, she said, do whatever he tells you. She put demand on God anointing. If you are a son of God and you are the servant of God and you are the daughter of God and you are the servant of God, it is time to start putting demand on the anointing. He said, his anointing. He said, be still and know that I'm God. The stillness, he's saying to you, do not leave, do not move until I give you a commission. If you really want to hear what I have to say. If you have problem, don't just spend about 2 minutes and run away. This is Forrest Gump story. You know, and life is not box of chocolate, no. And what happened is, you got to stay before God until God answers you. And when he answers you, he will fulfill your purpose and he will change your life because he will come to his place. And then he said to the servant, he said, fill the jars with water. The first age is the water. John the Baptist, he said, I come to baptize you with what? With water. But the men who, Jesus, the Messiah who's coming after me, he will baptize you with what? With the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is so amazing, but the water must come place. When Jesus Christ was pierced, two things came out of him, the wine and the oil of the Holy Spirit, blood and water. And that's the age of grace that's been released. And now it is about to dry for the new coming to come about for something new. And he said to them, he said, fill those jars with water. And the servant filled their jars with water. Paul said, we are jars of clay. We are jars of clay. We are made from dust. You're made from mud. And what happened is, as I start focusing, we are jars of clay. The value of the jar is not in the dirt that is made of. It's what holds inside of it. It's in the filling. And so if you are not filled with that glory of God, then you are in trouble. Because we're going to talk about this later on. There are five brides, five virgins that were filled with the oil of the world. And five were filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And so what happened is, when Jesus, he said, after they put the water, it was six jars. It was on the sixth day when it came to 6,000 years. And each jar was filled with 30 gallons of water. And now what happened on the sixth day, and we are entering the sixth day, he turned the water to wine. And when the water turned to wine, he said, take, scoop this and take it to the feast master. Who is the feast master? The feast master is the one of the world out there that they have no clue what's taking place. You know, they're running the ceremony and they're just trying to do what they have to do. And when he tasted the wine, he said, woo, dudes, go bring me the groom. And they brought him the bridegroom. And when he came, he said, what did you do? Usually you serve the good stuff. And when people get drunk, you give them the stinking stuff. And they could not tell the difference. But you did the opposite. Jesus Christ is the final oil, the last wine that they will come. It'll be the new wine. And it'll be the new oil and the new wine of the Holy Spirit for the last age to finish the glorious church. The church that he said it'll be glorious, and he's coming to glorious church. The glorious church is no longer on itself. It is owned by its maker, and now she gave her life away and gave her name away, and now she took the name of the Most High God. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. So their life is no longer about their self. Now it is about God to do his will and his bid in them. Are you following me? Am I boring you? Okay. What's happening today, it's a fresh manna. What you're receiving today, it is, if I tell that in churches all over the city, they're going to go, this guy is drunk. Yes, I am. I am drunk. And what I have, they did not have. Because not every church is called by God. Because when God drew the sickles to separate the wheat from the chaff, he was not separating the world from the church. He was separating the church from the church. Choose where you're going to go to church. the choosing, if you're a pastor, if you're a preacher, if you're a teacher, if you're servant master, if he's not a servant and he's washing your feet, you're in the wrong place. If you could not meet the pastor and you could not see him and just do, you know, like, give me some skin, buddy. You know, and if you're not having the five, you know, give me five, you know, whatever, then you're in the wrong place, because this time it requires something stronger. Iron sharpened the iron. This is when we come. When the iron sharpened the iron, something happened. Fire comes out. Fire comes out. And so what happened is it starts trouble. Trouble, not for the world, but for Satan. So find you a troublemaker. Pastor Joe is a troublemaker. So now, right before the rapture comes in, on the third day, when the sixth day comes to an end, on the third day before his coming, what's going to do? The new oil and the new wine coming in. And we have tasted something today that young men and old men, both of them are coming here to speak. And women, when we say men, it's mankind. All of them were speaking the word of God. This is a living church. This church has a heartbeat. And its heartbeat is not, that's right, it's in this, you want to finish my story? Okay. There's a harmony in the Holy Spirit. No, don't zip it. I love it. I just love it. Sorry. I'm just in a weird mood. God, people are weird. Okay. Now, the word of God says, he told us in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, he told us about the parables of the 10 virgins. He said, at that time, everybody say, at that time. At this time. Say, at this time. When he said it there, he was speaking about at that time when we come to this hour and we have arrived. That age have not begun, but yet it has, because he spoke about it even before it started. We have not stepped into it, but yet we are stepping into it. Does that make sense? Yes. And what happened, he said, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins that took their lamps and went into to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were foolish and five were wise. And the foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise one, however, took oil in their jar. They filled their jars with oil, so their lamp would never go out. So this is the glory of God. Now the oil of the Holy Spirit is constant and in season, and it's going forward. It's unceasing. He said, I will pour out my spirit, and the pouring out will not cease. It's going to continue flowing. And the overflow is coming about for all those who wants it. And then at midnight hour, the cry came about, and he said, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And what happened at the time? The church was sleeping. It was slumbering. The intercessors, they went on siesta. The soldiers on the wall, they just thought there's nobody out there, because they could not tell the difference between danger and between reality. They could not distinguish, because the church almost became like the world. And the people were praying. They were just praying now. Instead of living prayer's life, they just designated a time for prayers. Well, the Christian people, their life must be in the fullness of prayers. Why? Because this is your language. If your language is not prayers, then you're living outside of your calling. And so the call came, and then all the virgins woke up and they trimmed their lamp. And the foolish one said to the wise one, give me some of your oil, and our lamps are going out. And the wise one, they replied, there may be not enough for both of us. Instead, you know, from getting to us, go back and go to the marketplace and buy your own. This is where they purchased their oil. Many people today, in the book of Revelations 17, read that later on, read about the Babylon, the prostitute of the beast. You know, so what happened is this prostitute, that harlot, has a power in her right hand, and that's the cup that they refer to it as, a cup of oil that she had, and everybody was bound before her, and she was riding the world, and the world was bound before her. The spirit of Islam was on loose. The harlot is Islam proper. And what happened, the oil, the wine that she digs, that she press, it is not the wine of the Holy Spirit. It is the oil that comes from the earth. Oil, wine. So what happened is, the whole nations, the Chinese, the Russians, the American, everybody bowed before her. And the beast, the whole world became her servant. And she sat, Islam became power, and she sat on the top of the world. And now she was slain, God people, the Jews and the Christians. Islam came to destroy Jews and the Christians. Today we see our, even our government said the Jews are terrorists and the Christians are terrorists. We are number one terrorists to our, now they teach in our armies and they teach in everybody. The evangelical people are terrorists number one in the nation, even before Al-Qaeda, even before KKK, even before the skinhead, the Catholic included. So what happened is, the world was turning against whom? Against the Christians and the Jews. And so now, that harlot is trying to do this, and now she's acquiring Sharia law. She's acquiring her presence and her glory. And so what happened? Everybody obeyed her. Why? Because they want that. Now, this is the oil that really gets you drunk. And the drunk, you'll be foolish. That's the five brides. Their foolishness was dependent on the oil that they dug from the world and what they can do. So they served their job. Their job became their masters and their bosses became their masters. And they have no place for God. And they were serving the majority of their life before their masters and before their kings. And they forgot about the King of Kings. The other one, they say they stayed before the Kings of Kings. And how did they do it? They did not quit their job, but they took their king with them to their job. Their job now became their ministry. Their ministry became their job. Every place they went, they became ambassadors. And everybody going like, who are these people? But what happened is the authority that you have and the knowledge that you have, it'll make a place for you in that job. Now they could not let go of you because God's going to put special anointing over you. They could not go. They not let go of you. They're going to go like, okay, do what you have to do, but come back. We need you. So God's going to crown you with a favor. The favor of God is going to come about like we have not seen before. And the grace of God going to come for those who believe. Grace is not for the sinner. Grace, not for the sinners only, but grace for those who are in Christ Jesus as well. The grace that in Christ Jesus is going to double. And it's going to be in a double portion. The grace that's in the world is going to be, you know, for those who want Christ, is going to come in one portion until they come to know him. And now it's going to be in a double portion. And so therefore what happened is, these are the two oil and the two wine between the two. How we operate in this and how we operate in that. Until the coming of Christ, because what happened is the two brides walked together and they could not distinguish each other from one from another. And they didn't realize that they're burning two different oil. Are you listening to me? What kind of oil are you burning today? What are you meditating on? When you close your eyes at night, when you go to sleep, cheerleaders, what are you thinking about? Boys, are your dreams in God? Or are they in Facebook? Masters, business owners, how are you teaching your servants? What are you putting before them? Are you treating them like worldly masters or godly masters? Jesus was a master. And he treated his apostle in a different way. You have staff under you, and they're going to listen to you. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything shall be added unto you. We're going to come and distinguish ourselves, which oil and which wine we're going to choose, because one wine make you ridiculous and the other wine gonna make you sophisticated. And that sophistication to the world is foolishness. But nevertheless, it will change the world because the world have no place to go. I'm gonna show you the parable of this so we can stop soon. Elijah came before Elisha. And this is the same thing. Jesus Christ came before he acquired his bride. So what happened is, when Elijah came, Elijah operated in the miracles, and the miracles were so amazing. He did 8 miracles. The first one was no rain for 3.5 years. This is the authority that will be given to the bride of Christ before the end of time. Before the rapture comes about, you will operate in authority to speak to nature. If you don't have rain over your ground, you will speak and your field will be filled. Your corn will rise. Even if the rain didn't come, then the rain of heaven will come, will manifest. It's miraculously. Why? Because we knew that Elijah did it. And Elijah is the type and shadow of Jesus Christ. And then the second one was the meal and the oil when he went to the Shumite woman and he said to her, give me what you have and I'm going to give you what you have, what he has. So what happened is, this is a place of surrender and you're going to give everything you have, and now you are sold out to the Lord and you are no longer your own, you are his. And then he raised the people. He raised the widow's son from the dead. Healing, we're going to operate in healing power and restoration. It's going to come in 2 forms. To the dead, the really, you know, dead. And the second one are spiritually dead. Restoration is coming about the church. Your sons and daughters that they fell by the wayside, that they are the promise of God, that they will be restored. Restoration is coming to the church. So now, if you have not operated in this, start putting demand on God anointing. We talked about that demand. And then, the clean up of the prophet of Baal. This is when Elijah destroyed the prophet of Baal. We come into the place, we're going to speak, and God's going to operate. Because the power did not come from Elijah, it came from God, but Elijah called it in. The church will start call things in, and they're going to start manifesting. And then, what happened, he released the rain after the rain have stopped, but it happened only after the priest of Baal were destroyed. So they're going to be cleansing and going to be healing, and it's going to be purity, and it's going to rise to new level, and the church going to walk in something. It's called walking on water. Peter walked on water. And now the church will walk on element we have not walked. We walk on air and we walk on water only for one reason, to usher heaven on earth. We are making place. And now, you know, it goes on, you know, how he destroyed the army, the first fold and the second fold, and how he saved the third fold of army because they bowed before him. The armies of the earth will start respecting and honoring the church because they are fearing the God of the church. And then the last one he did, he took his mantle and he struck the water, and the Jordan River opened up and he crossed on dry land. What happened is that the symbolism that Jesus Christ became that living mantle, that he came to the cross and he became that veil, and now when he hit the ground, it opened, it became dried up, and now there was a gateway. So he revealed and he removed the removed the veil. And what happened here is, Jesus Christ came for the same purpose when he died on the cross, to open the gates, what we talked about earlier, to usher the coming of God people to where? Before the holies of holies. We're going to see the people from what Pastor Joe said earlier, instead of standing outside, God people going to move in. And he said, and from that day on, the violent took it by force. It's require force, and it require glory, and it require anointing and demand. And so therefore, what happened is, when Elisha came about, the first miracle he did, he took the mantle that fell from Elijah, and he struck the water with it, and the Jordan water opened up. You have the mantle, the usher, to go into the holies of holies, and also you have the power to usher people into the presence of God like never before. People gonna, their eyes gonna be opened, and they're gonna see why, because the veil is destroyed. The veil, you know, God of this world has veiled them. So God is gonna reveal, He's gonna lift up the veil, and they're gonna see a hint of the new Jerusalem. And the coming of the many is gonna come about, and many of them will come, and the promises that God said that they will done, they will come in the last age. Heaven and earth may pass away, but one letter of my word, everything that God promised will be fully accomplished for those who wants it and those who operates in it, and for those who said, I. If this is you, say I. So now what happened is the miracles that Elisha did, they were double portion. The double portion of the glory and the power. Anytime there's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you always see two are together and one is out. Always two together and one is out. First, when he was creating the Genesis and doing everything, he's doing what he's doing. What did he send? The Son and the Father sat on the throne. David talked, he said, my Lord spoke to my Lord. And they're lording, you know, over the world. And he sent his spirit, his Holy Spirit, and it went on the surface of the deep, the dark, deep water. So this is the heart of man. And he's moving, you know, so the Holy Spirit moved. And this is how everything began. Creation was created by the wisdom of God, the Spirit of God, the glory of God. And so what happened is, then the Holy Spirit went, and he was up there, and then he sent his Son. It was the new age, the age of his Son, the Messiah. The one who came and he cleanses. The one who rubbed with oil and make it clean. The one who forgive your sin, and your sin will never return to you as the world does. Today you're my friend, and I promise you everything's going to be all right. But if you cross me, you are my worst enemy, if you are in the world. But in God's kingdom, your sins are remembered no more. And that spirit will be about the body of Christ. And they will not look at each other as enemy or competing. That spirit of competition, it's a lie. That spirit of arrogance is a lie. I have a bigger sword than you. I have a calling. That's junk. Because God gives to each ministry a great measure of himself. Whether your ministry is this big or that big, because God, he pours himself. And when he pour himself, he said, I am. So when he pour himself, he pour yourself, himself in your life, and you are walking in the spirit of I am. So you are no longer yourself, you are his. I am his and he's mine. And therefore, you forget about yourself and you are silly in God. And that is where people call it stupidity and we call it wisdom. Why? Because you are seeing something they don't see and you're hearing something they don't hear. And now, where was I? I'm sorry? About what? About what? She was listening. Sorry, everybody listened, but she. So now what happened is, I just want to make sure that everybody's hearing this. This is important. I'm sorry. He's finishing my story again. No dessert for you today, sir.
I read the book.
Oh, okay. So what happened is, now Jesus is lifted up. He said, when I am lifted up, when what the world said, Pastor Drew? He said, when I am lifted up, then what? Jesus has been lifted up, and he sent you the great price, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a price, a gift for those who want it. And his age is not going to finish until he finishes everything, because the two troublemakers are sitting up there, and they just
watching the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is showing off. He's going like, watch this, watch this. He's going, I'm working harder than y'all. And they go like, well, we sent you. It's my age, not yours. And that age is, I believe the Holy Spirit thinks that he works harder than anybody else. Why? Because he gives himself to anyone that wants him. And that age is the age of the Holy Spirit. It's the glorious age where the church will do things that the eyes have not seen and the ears have not heard. And that's the age of fulfillment. And it's coming upon us so soon. Make your peace. Clean up your house. Free your body from spot and wrinkles. And I'll tell you what, for those young men and women that your life now is challenging you and you just want to be loved, I'll tell you what, love him first and he will pour out his love over you. Because your love is not in a man or a woman. Your love is in him. The word of God says, in him we live. In him we live. And he's looking for a bride that loves him first before, you know, you don't choose your man or your woman. He chooses your man and woman for you. That's called obedience. And do not look at the Barbie style or at the, you know, the other guy style, you know, the opposite of Barbie. What is it called? Ken. Do not. This is for you guys because that's where you're all at. After you leave church today, I'm going like, did you see how he looked? Oh, he was handsome. Girl. You know, and so I know. I was one of those at one time. I was in the wrong place, though. So anyhow, we come into that age, and that age is about to be totally fulfilled, and the time is about to be over. And now it's no longer sleeping hour. Now we must finish the race. The race is upon us, and God is going to give you strength beyond your ability, and he's going to pour over you wisdom that you have not received before. And you're going to think that you are the Solomon of your days because as God poured that wisdom over Solomon, so he's going to pour it over his people in the last day to confuse the world. And the people are going to go because the church will become the living answer and people will start coming to church because they have no other place to go. While the whole world is start weeping and wailing, they're going to see songs of praise and worship at church. And people are going to say, the wedding started, and we want to be part of this. Today, I commend you. If you don't have a net, go and purchase a net. If you don't have a tent, buy a big tent. Because you're going to fill them all up. This time is no longer, this is the fulfillment time, is no longer how your fishing ability is. God's going to say, cast your net. And he's going to fill it up for you. And the filling is going to go like, wow. So your supply is going to come in the plenty. And the greatest supply is not the finances. The greatest supply is human, God, people. His heart desire is in the commodity of the heart of man. So therefore, if you bless him and you start serving his people, just like Jesus did, he will lift you up and he will exalt you. Thank you for putting up with me today. Even though I was tired and exhausted, but the word came through. So Father, we thank you for today. And we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what you have done. And I thank you, Father God, that you're moving me close to here. So I'm no longer living in Washington, D.C., that next month, at the end of next month, Father God, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, prepare a place for us that we can come close to home. And Father God, prepare the strength and prepare the helper, Father God, that we can finish what you've given us and be part of our family here, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, keep me a seat empty because I'm coming home. Yes. Time and time again. Hallelujah. God bless you. Until next time.
Glory. Bless the Lord. I pray that went into your spirit, into your heart, and that you will leave here with understanding. Hallelujah. Can we pray for Kamal together one more time before he leaves this afternoon? And if anybody has a prophetic word, please come forward with that. God, we just thank you so much again for Kamal. And God, the God that you have placed in him, Father, the spirit from you, from his words, God. Father, we thank you for this transition that he is in and going through. And Father, we just bless him. We bless Coombe Ministries. And we speak those blessings and we speak power, unity, and a new wind a new word. Ooh, Lord God. Kamal, I just got this for you. I heard this a few days ago when we were at the cabin and you were on the phone. And the Lord spoke this to me, vision. I didn't know what to do with that. And I thought it was for Jennifer, your daughter. And I still think it's partly for her, but I think it's for you.
Not Sarah.
No. That there's new vision coming to you. That you're in a new season and a new time in anointing, in equipping, in ministry. There are new people that are opening up to hear the words that God has given you. The prophecies. And I've seen more dreams, more visions coming to you in a more powerful, that it's going to awaken people. It's going to awaken them because the vision God has given you is going to impart vision into others to where they be able to see clearly in a new way. I laughed earlier because we, and I'm just going to tell everybody this, we received the offering for him, and then we as New Covenant put some money together, and Crystal went and counted it, and she brought me back a little piece of paper that said the total on it, 2020.
Woo.
So now in Jesus' mighty name, that there would be heavenly 2020 vision.
Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name. God, I pray this for Kamal and for Victoria together, that they will see, God, into the realms, Father, that are now opening that have never been opened before.
Thank you, Jesus.
They're seeing in the nighttime and the dreams and the visions that you're seeing, showing them. Even as he steps behind pulpits and grabs microphones, that new words, new vision to be released in different parts of the nation, in different parts of different congregations, to awaken the body of Christ to new 2020.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
and
you,
we bless your holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, God, that you have knit us together.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I'm just hearing something new about sonship. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't have all the fullness of this yet, but I'm hearing sonship like being released from you. As a spiritual father. That people are, that there's going to be young ones, old ones, that are kind of come into a sonship with the Lord. Just, it's just an anointing that I believe the Lord is just releasing on you. It's just,
thank you, whew,
glory. Thank you for that anointing,
I
God, to draw others into a sonship, Father.
Thank you,
glory be to
I
God. That they would know their identity, Father. They would come home.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. You have something, Dan? Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Here I hold a towel. And it just says servant's towel.
Amen.
And God showed me your heart. And he said, this is my son that is a servant. And because he's been a faithful servant and because he's gone where I've told him to go, this day I'm releasing a new mantle. I'm releasing a mantle, the heart of a father.
Hallelujah.
The heart of a father. Where when you lost your father, I was adopted. And I carried a very adoptive spirit of rejection. And because you lost your family, you felt that spirit of rejection. You felt that hurt like I felt myself as being adopted. But today God says, no, my son. That feeling won't even rise up ever again. Because this day you are now my son. And I call you by name. But know that this day I'm placing a new mantle.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory. A new mantle.
I receive it.
Bless you,
I receive
Lord.
It.
Bless you, Lord. No.
Because the words you speak and the prophecies you give are so going to impact people's hearts. They're going to look at you and they go, where did he get this? Where did he see that? Because with the new mantle comes the new responsibility and the new anointing. I'm shaking inside because I just don't do this.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I release that, if I may.
I receive it.
Hallelujah.
I receive it.
Glory to God.
My father died, and he's no longer. But my father is alive,
Hallelujah.
And he lives forevermore. And I look up to my real father.
Glory be to God.
He's sitting up there. Mm. Thank you for your word. I receive it.
Hallelujah.
I receive it.
There's a fresh anointing. Shura saraki saraku rasa.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Reso toroku saramando torete kia noramoso. He sotore ki mareseti surra manda ki sotoreto mara. There's a fire coming to you in your belly that will never ever be quenched. Because God says, I set this fire in you. I set it in you. And yes, my son, give it away. Give it away. The more you give away, the more I will release more. I will release more. I will release more. More, more, and more.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,